our Chair Cantwell, who is an expert in her own right in not just technology, but in aerospace
well,
and imaging.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you and to Senator Lummis for holding this important hearing and to our witnesses, adding a lot of insight and valuable information about the success and opportunities for us in this area. We know that the unmatched scientific legacy of the U.S. Geological Survey's Landsat program and the key partnerships that they've had with NASA have been successful. And of course, NASA being in the news now with the landmark Artemis 1 mission, which just reached a point at almost 270,000 miles from Earth, farther than any other human-related spacecraft. I'd like to start by congratulating them, NASA, and the Artemis program, as well as the workforce in my state and across the nation who participated in this. With 42 Washington companies contributing components for Artemis, our state remains an aerospace leader, and NASA is keeping the United States in a world leadership position here as well. NASA, of course, does a lot more than explore space, and since its founding, it's had a mission to help us understand Earth, a mission shared by the USGS and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And for over 50 years, these agencies have been working with their academic and commercial partners and given the U.S. a leadership role in developing and deploying satellite-based remote sensing systems for monitoring the Earth. Now, I can't tell you how important we feel this is today. In the case of Landsat, publicly available data yielded over $2 billion in annual benefits to U.S. users and over $1 billion in annual benefits to users outside the United States. The total global Earth observation commercial market is projected to be almost $8 billion by 2030. You may have gone over all this data. Nope. Okay. But this data, these services, this market represents sustained growth and opportunities, particularly in areas like agriculture to crop insurance to urban planning, and a very important subject for us in the Northwest and my colleagues here on this committee, wildfires. In Washington, the data and processes of information by NOAA Western Regional Center in Seattle, which houses offices for the National Weather Service and National Environmental Satellite Data and Information Services. Data from these offices are invaluable in helping us cope with these increasing wildfires. During this season, and my colleagues I know in Western states saw this, an unbelievable increase in these instances. For example, the Bolt Creek Fire burned approximately 15,000 acres on the east of Seattle in King County. We're used to having these fires on the other side of the Cascades, on the east side of the Cascades. We're not so used to having them on the west side of the Cascades. And Earth observation data were essential for real-time fire mapping, measurement, part of suppression, and assessing post-hazard burns. This is incredibly important because in this particular area, it's very steep, and it's one of our two highway passes across the Cascades. And without that data and information or that highway, it becomes very precarious. So looking forward, we know that there is going to be a growing need around wildland fire prediction and long-term adaptation. We must be vigilant about these fires, and residents who just suffered through the Bolt Creek fires have to worry now about landslides, which is why all of this information, as those of you who are involved in this already know, that kind of fire damage leaves you very, very vulnerable. So the United States must continue to sustain its growth in Earth observation capabilities in alignment with our community needs and scientific consensus. And the symbolic development of research and operational capabilities managed by NASA, NOAA, and USGS will, I believe, remain very critical to how the partners in the private sector also develop. So I look forward to having an opportunity, Mr. Chairman. I don't want to get ahead of you and Senator Lummis on questions, but thank you to the witnesses and thank you for holding the hearing.
Madam Chair, I think your schedule, I can only imagine today. So if you would like to go first with questions, I think that's all right with me.
Absolutely.
Ranking Member Lummis concurs.
Okay, so to our Dr. Vols, thank you for being here virtually, I guess. I wanted to Could you speak how infrastructure funding that was part of the bipartisan infrastructure law, Fire Ready Nation Act of 2020, to strengthen NOAA's fire weather service capabilities are helping us with the fire and keeping residents safe? And what else do you think we need to do to help expand this capacity within NOAA?
Thank you, ma'am, for the question. It's an excellent question, and we definitely appreciate the disaster supplemental funds, which provided that the resources to us. So with those particular funds in the supplemental, we have been able to accelerate the delivery, the development and delivery of some fire products, which take the information we get from our geostationary satellite GOES-R, and modeling and working with our National Weather Service with modeling to make a better use of those products to the fire emergency managers, but also into such services as our high resolution rapid refresh model, which allows us to forecast the propagation of smoke and other effects that are coincident with the fire. These are products that were in the pipeline that were we know we're ready to do, but we're resource limited. We were able to accelerate them, for example, with the inclusion of these disaster supplemental funds. Looking forward, we definitely have seen the increase in the fire events, and our next generation, we have a number of other products which we're continuing to improve, but in the next generation geostationary satellite, for example, the GeoXO, we have particularly targeted bands which are better focused on fire initiation and have increased the resolution on those so that we'll be able to spot smaller fires faster and then give fire emergency managers a quicker response time to those fires. And one of the amazing facts in my mind was that we are able to contain roughly 97% of the fires that occur, but those 3% we don't contain within the first hours are the ones that lead to the bulk of the damage around the country. So if we can even improve that by 1%, we can significantly reduce the impact of major fires around in the West and elsewhere in the U.S.
So what do we need to do to execute on that from a satellite perspective?
Well, the continuing the development of the products and services, we're using the supplemental funds, but also GeoXO is now, it's in our program. It is not confirmed yet. It is ready for the next step, and we're actually taking it to the Department of Commerce in the next 2 weeks for the next step in initiation, and we hope to be able to, it will require funding for the first launch, will be in 2032, and we'll take the time between now and then to develop those satellites and to prepare the weather service and all of the whole ecosystem, as Dr. Abdulati said, of managers and responders to deal with the increased data when we get it. It is important that we get the investments to supplement and to deliver the next generation of enhanced observations that will meet the growing need.
Well, this doesn't, I know, look, there's a lot of satellite use and a lot of interest that people have, but in this case, we get from the weather service every, usually by May, and then maybe an update later in the summer, this is where the hot spots are going to be. They already have their projections. Here's who's really going to be at the brunt of this, with weather forecasts. So sometimes it might be Wyoming, and it might be Colorado, and sometimes it's Washington and Oregon, and you can get a map that's very red in Alaska, and you're thinking, how can this be? But I know that my colleagues from Alaska can tell you it's real. They've had fires up there they never predicted. So at that time, we would then dedicate satellite monitoring to say whatever those hot spots would be for a period of, what, a month, 2 months? So we literally would be calling out these fires. Describe what it is that we would do. I stumped our witness.
He might have gotten frozen.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Can you hear us, Dr. Bowles?
I can hear you now. I'm sorry, you froze for just a second. So yes, I hear you.
Okay, my question was, we need satellite capability to target certain areas for like months at a time, I guess is the question.
No, I would say that's a misrepresentation. The geostationary satellites are observing all the time, 24/7 with no interruption. That you mentioned the forecasting for a seasonal and the like, and that we don't change our satellite assets to observe those differently based on high vulnerability versus low vulnerability, but it allows the communities to prepare emergency responses to those areas that may be listed as higher vulnerability. What we can do with improved forecasting, ecosystem forecasting, understanding the health, the vegetation health, the soil moisture content, the general ecosystem environmental factors, to give even more higher resolution and higher
better broadband.
Good thing we sent that money down the pipeline.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I will. I think the point here I would make if Dr. Volz was back with us is just, so there is no reason why we shouldn't do this. So this is going to save us money. The three of us know how much fire damage is costing us. And if you can prevent some of it by what we say are activities of hasty response, and if we can use our geosystem to do that, let's do it. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And I think